And today we're going to look at a passage of Scripture in John chapter 15. And probably all of you are familiar with it. But as we read this passage, I want you to imagine with me being with Jesus, and Jesus and his disciples walking through a vineyard. Okay? And so here you are, we're tagging along. You're overhearing, you're listening to what Jesus is saying as he approaches this vineyard. Now, I want you to remember you recall the story of the spies going into the land of Israel? And as they were going into the land of Israel, it took two guys, show that picture please, it took two guys to carry a cluster of grapes on a pole. Okay? Now, I've seen some big clusters of grapes that would probably fit in my hand. But I've never seen anything like that. And Jesus is going through this vineyard. I'm assuming. A lot of times Jesus would take things that were around him and surround him and make a message out of it. And I'm assuming he's probably going through this vineyard and we're going with him. And here's what Jesus says. I am the true grapevine. And my Father is the gardener. I tell you what, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. All right, let's start over. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in His love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I have appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other. Amen. You may be seated. Before we begin, let's just go to the Lord in prayer again. Father, I want to thank you for your word to us. Lord, just imagining being with you as you instructed your disciples. As they were looking out over this vineyard and seeing the luscious fruit hanging from these vines. And Lord, your instruction to them about abiding and how important it was to abide and how important it was to connect with you. Lord, I pray that today that we would connect with you in a way perhaps we've never done so before. Because, Lord, we do want to produce fruit in our lives. We don't want to be an old, dry, withered tree that does not produce anything. Lord, we want to produce fruit for your glory, for your honor. So Lord, as we go through this text today, I pray that you would instruct us. You would help us to learn the things that we need to in order to be fruitful, so that we can produce more fruit, so that we can produce much fruit. And Lord, that you would be glorified. These things we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. How many of you planted a garden this year or planted something and you hope would grow? So why did you do that? You like to eat it. Tastes better than it gets in the store. Fun to watch things grow. You love to see things produced. Now, did you plant the vegetables just to look at the plant and say, man, that's a beautiful plant? No. We planted some strawberries this year. We got some wonderful plants. Beautiful plants. I mean, they're just as green and luscious. But did you know we didn't get any strawberries? I didn't plant those plants just to be pretty. I don't really care what they look like. Because I want my strawberry plants to produce strawberries. That's what I want. And the more the better. I love strawberries. And in years past, we've had some delicious strawberries. But for some reason, this year, it just didn't happen. There are many blessings. Actually, we're going to look at five blessings in this passage of Scripture today. Five wonderful blessings we receive when we connect to the vine. How many of you like to be blessed? All right. So, there's five wonderful blessings that he shares with us in this passage of Scripture in John chapter 15. You know, it would be possible for me to preach a year on this passage. Because there's so much here that I don't have a year. I've got about 30 more minutes. So we're going to hit it, but I want you to get it. Okay? It's very important that you get it. So the first blessing of being connected to the vine is that fruit is produced. Fruit is produced. Read that passage again. It says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. You cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And then verse 8, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. 16, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to do what? So why did he choose you? Why did he choose you and appoint you? I hear three of you. To bear fruit. So, I want to talk about a couple of aspects of fruit. One is the fruit of the Spirit. And we talk about that often. About, what were they again? Love. Gentleness. Self-control. Okay. So, we talk about that fruit. Now, the world has its fruit. Drunkenness, debauchery, raging, anger, all that kind of stuff. And we get to choose which limb we're going to be connected to. Right? We get to choose which tree we're going to connect to, whether it's the tree of Jesus Christ, the tree of life, or the tree of death, which is the tree of the world. We get to choose that. So, which tree are you connected to? Your fruit will tell me which tree you're connected to, right? And your fruit will tell you which tree you're connected to. And let me just, you know, as your pastor, I've got to be truthful. Sometimes I'm not always connected to the right tree. The right answer is Jesus. That's the right answer for everything. Jesus. But the truth is, sometimes I'm not connected to Jesus like I ought to be. And sometimes my fruit is rotten. So it's my desire, and hopefully your desire, to be connected to the true vine so that your fruit will not be rotten, but it will be good, and then it will remain. The fruit of the Spirit is one of the aspects of the fruit. The second one is spiritual offspring. What do I mean by that? Sharing the Lord with others. Bringing them to a place where they can make a commitment. One way or another. I'm going to follow Jesus or I'm not. I reject Him. We talked about a couple of weeks ago about God giving you the power to share your faith with other people. And so part of this fruit, and I think what Jesus is saying here is more than just the fruit of the Spirit. I think He's really keying in on this bringing other people into the kingdom of God. The fruit of the Spirit. Whose fruit is the fruit of the Spirit? The Spirit. It's His fruit. What's your fruit? It's other Christians. Bringing other people into the kingdom. Okay? Having offspring spiritually so that they can come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, according to this passage of Scripture, Scripture says you were chosen and appointed to produce fruit. Turn to your neighbor and tell them you were chosen and appointed to produce fruit. That's why God chose you. Okay? If you ever wondered what your purpose was, how many of you ever wondered what your purpose was? Now you know. Now you know. Your purpose is to share Christ with other people so that they can come into the kingdom of God. That's your purpose. That's why God chose you. That's why He appointed you. For that very purpose. So there's one requirement for this reproduction. You know what it is? Pardon? Connection. It's to abide in the vine. That's your only purpose. When you abide, there's a natural outflow of the Spirit. There's a natural love for other people that you're going to want to share your faith with them. And all you have to do is remain in the vine. Now, I would say this. If you don't have that desire in your heart to see other people come into the kingdom, you're probably not abiding. Okay? If your goal, when we were on vacation, for me, it's just almost hard not to see where people are in their spiritual walk. We were talking to a couple of campers who told us about Yak, Montana, and we got lost. And one of them was named Mark, and one was named Sarah. And I said, man, that's great biblical names. They're kind of like, well, you know, you try to find out what can be planted. And if they're not acceptable to it, what can you do? You know, just pray for them. And so a Christian who's abiding in the vine are going to try to drop seed in the lives of people who don't know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. second thing. The second blessing of that we find in these passages of Scripture, the second blessing of staying connected is that our prayers are answered. How many of you have your prayers answered all the time? Sometimes the answer is no. Or sometimes the answer is wait. Okay? My prayers are always answered, I guess. However, this passage of Scripture in verse 7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. How many of you have ever asked for anything you want and everything you wanted was granted? No hands went up. He says, if you remain in me, so there's two conditions for having your prayers answered found in this passage of Scripture. The first condition is, remain in him. Connect with him. Do you know what a lot of my prayers are? They're selfish prayers. That's probably why they don't get answered as much as I want them to. Because I'm asking for me rather than what God's will is. But see here, if you remain in him, you know what his will is and you know how to pray because you know what his will is. And so therefore, if you're praying according to his will then and you're remaining in him, then your prayers will always be answered. And you have the desire of your heart because your desire is to please him. Not to please bread, but to please him. So if you remain in me, Scripture says, that's one condition, I will answer your prayer. The second condition is that my words remain in you. How many of you really get into God's Word? Many of you. And how many of you take those words to heart? And how many of you understand the promises of God and begin to allow those promises to just saturate your heart and allow the Word of God to remain in you? Jesus said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you can ask whatever you desire and it will be given unto you. It's really good to know God's perfect will. And the only way you can do that is to be in God's Word and be in prayer. That's the only way. If you've got your communication card, I want you to memorize a passage of Scripture. It's in number 6, but I want you to cross that out. I've got a different one I want you to memorize. I don't want you to put on John 14, 7. I think that's right. Hold on a second. Cross that out. No, I'm sorry. John 14:27. So this next week I want you to memorize John 14:27. Very important. We'll get to that passage later. But it's important that you get God's word in your heart. Not just in your head, but it's important you get in your heart. So my words remain in you. God's words remain in you. You remain in him. The prayers that you pray will be answered. Guaranteed, that's a promise from God. Not a promise from me. It's a promise from God. Another benefit or blessing that comes to us when we're connected is that the love of God abounds in our heart. This is a tremendous blessing. How many of you have ever experienced the love of God just abounding in your heart? And you just felt His love come over you. If you have, there was a reason you experienced that. Scripture says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in His love. So, when you are obedient to the Word of God, and I'm not talking about following all the laws, I'm talking about Jesus said, I leave another commandment with you, love one another just as I've loved you. And when you love Him, when you love other people, when you and I quit loving ourselves so much and start loving others and giving of ourselves and doing for others, obeying His commands, and whenever we, there are two ways that we follow His Word. One is we follow His written Word. The second way is we follow the inclination of the Holy Spirit in our life. Okay? When we do that, when we're obedient to Him, even when we can't see the final outcome, even when we think, man, this is crazy, God. I don't understand why you're telling me to do this. God, you're asking me to give this and I don't have the resources. Lord, you're asking me to do this and I'm not even sure I know how to do it. But I'm going to do it to the best of my ability because you tell me to, whether I know how or not. I'll find a way. God says, when you obey my commandments, He is going to pour out His love upon you. He will express Himself to you in a way that a lot of people He will not express Himself to. Is it because He loves people who don't obey Him any less? No. It's not because He loves them any less. It's just that He cannot express His love to them to the degree that He expresses His love to those who are obedient to Him. Now, this is not true. Part of it's true, part of it's not true. I have two children. True. But let's just say one of my children was disobedient and rebellious and obnoxious and hard to get along with, and no matter what you told him to do, he wouldn't do it. But my daughter, everything she was, she just conformed to everything. Anything you asked her, she went over above and beyond. Who do you think that I would express my love more toward? Well, my daughter. I've got both of my children are great kids. Okay, so I'm not saying anything derogatory about my children. Got great kids. But if you've got two children, and you're going to express your love to one who's receptive and obedient in a different way than you express your love to one who's in rebellion. You're going to love the rebellious kid, but he's not going to feel the love. Jenny said, oh, yes, he will. Your love will not abound in his heart the way the one who's obedient will receive that love. Okay? So God, now some of you have been taking steps toward obedience here recently. And you can affirm and attest to the love of God just being over and above and beyond what you could ever imagine. I see it. And it blesses me as your pastor. One of the things I was sharing with Rick this morning, so Rick has become one of our new teachers. And so you can blame me if you get problems with Rick. I told Rick, I said, whenever you prepare a lesson, there always needs to be some action steps. How does this apply to my life? How does what you're teaching... Now, it's good to have It's good to have knowledge about a lot of different things. It's good to have Bible knowledge. But if you don't have a way to apply it to your own personal life, what good is it? There's a lot of people who don't know Christ who have a lot of Bible knowledge. But it's not applicable in their own personal lives. And therefore, there's no transformation that's taking place in their lives. So we need to be obedient. If you want the love of God to be poured out upon you and abound in you, then one of the things you need to do is listen, read the Word of God, let the Word of God abide in you, follow the Word of God, and follow the voice of the Holy Spirit when He nudges you. You get it? Three of you got it. Did you get it?
Yes.
Okay, good. So, here's an interesting concept. Because God loves us, He will often prune us. Scripture says, John 15, He will often prune us. Now, no one likes pruning. So what happens in the pruning process is that God takes away anything that doesn't bring glory to Him. Okay? Anything that is not in line with what He wants, anything in our lives that is contrary to His will, He begins snipping and cutting and removing those parts of us. And it's not pleasant. Matter of fact, sometimes it can be ugly. Going down the road, somebody pulls out in front of you. What's your response? Bless you, brother. So when that happens, the Lord is revealing something in you that needs to be pruned. Now, you can either take action yourself, or you can wait for Him to take action. And I would suggest you take action yourself, just, for your own benefit. But He says, Father God will do the pruning. So what are some ways that Father prunes the life of His children? So, and help me out here. What are some ways? Circumstances such as, financial problems, trials, health problems. I'm sorry? No work, relationship problems, home problems, problems at home, life's experiences. Chicken pox, what'd you say? Chicken problems. Yeah, Larry's our chicken farmer. So here's what I've come to understand. My daughter and I were talking about that this week. I don't believe there's a single life experience you go through that God isn't trying to connect with a spiritual issue in your life. I don't care if it's sickness. I don't care if it's financial problems. I don't care what it is. God is trying to work something out in that situation. Rick got sick, 2 months ago? 3 months ago? May 2nd. Because of that, he could no longer drive. Lost his income. But you need to talk to Rick. Because since that time, God has been doing a marvelous, marvelous, marvelous work in Rick's life. This passage of Scripture talks about the fruit that remains. You know what a lot of people do when they go through the pruning process? But if this is the love of God, then I don't want to be a part of it. This is the way God treats the people He loves, then why go love God? I'm bailing out. I want to ask you a question. Rick, is there anything that you go through that's going to cause you to bail on God? Nothing. Larry, is there anything in your life, whatever you go through, is it going to cause you to bail on God? Bob? No. Matt? We need to ask that question because we're going to go through some stuff in the pruning process, and we need to determine now, regardless of what happens, I will not bail out. I'm going to stay with the ship. If the ship sinks, I'll go down with the ship. But somehow, God always sends a lifeboat, doesn't He? So is there anything in your life that would make you bail? If there is, it's probably going to come upon you. Because God's got to prune that out of your life. But that's the love of God. It's not because He hates you. He loves you and He wants you to produce more fruit so that the next blessing is that true joy is realized in your life. That's number four. True joy is realized in your life. How happy are you when you see your garden producing? Very happy. And man, when it's bringing on the best fruit it's ever brought on, and it's luscious, and it's beautiful. Hey, come see my garden! There's joy that comes from the production of fruit. And you know what happens? Whenever God sees you producing fruit, there's joy that rises up within Him and He just spreads it out on you. And there is joy that comes through producing fruit for the kingdom's sake. There's tremendous joy. And so the joy that you receive is actually God's joy just being poured out upon you. If you've ever led someone to Christ, you know the joy that comes from that. Inexpressible. It's kind of addicting. Man, I want to lead somebody else to Christ. Because of the joy that I'm experiencing over somebody coming out of death to life. Somebody coming out of the grips of Satan into the hands of God. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's just amazing. It's amazing. God is blessed, glorified when the fruit is produced. And the last thing, the last blessing actually is found in John 14, 27, the one I told you to memorize. The last blessing is that peace prevails in our heart whenever we're connected. Jesus said this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. In this world, you're going to have trouble. Don't be fearful. Don't be anxious. Neither be afraid. Wouldn't that be a wonderful passage to memorize? To get in your heart. Heads up, listen. In this world, you're going to have trouble. Did you figure that out? Okay? Figure it out. But you don't have to be anxious. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be anxious about whether Republicans win or the Democrats win or others win. God will be victorious. God will be victorious. You don't have to be anxious. Don't be anxious about. So what does it say here? It says, so don't be anxious or afraid except for. Not there. Here's what I've discovered. That when I'm connected, when I'm abiding, there's no anxiety. There's no fear. There's nothing that can irritate me or trouble me. Because I know who's on the throne. And I know he's going to work it all out. I know that. Am I connected 100% of the time? No. But I'm a whole lot more connected now than I used to be. So hopefully next year I'll be more connected than I was this year. It's a progression. But it's also a choice. I get to choose how long I am disconnected. I can choose to be disconnected for an hour, a month, a year, or 20 years. That's my choice. So this morning, how connected are you? Are you abiding in the vine? Are you just going through the motions? Where do you want to be? And if you want to abide, what are you going to do about it? It's kind of your choice. Written on the communication card, the first one was, I am not connected, but I want to be. The first way, the first step in order to be connected is to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, just like Xavier did. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. Give your heart and your life to Him. You can go after pleasures. You can go after worldly stuff. But it's a temporary feeling of some something that we think we're after, but it never fills us up completely. Jesus said, I came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. You'll not be connected until you receive Christ. Spend time in the Word, spend time in prayer, and give yourself totally to the Lord. I want to pray for you.